Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad that you're with us this morning. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
We're glad you're here. If you are visiting with us, you're a guest of us this morning. We are especially glad that you're here. And I invite you, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you, and invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here. And you can, if you want to be on our email list, you can put your email down there and check the little box that you'd like to be added to our email. We've got some Wednesday night ministries that you might want to know about. We eat from 5 to 6, and it's a $3 meal, best $3 meal in the Taylor County right there. Isn't that right, Larry?
Yes.
And because Brenda's in control. Larry's just there for, he's the eye candy, as we've talked about, yeah. And so we got Wednesday nights. Just want you to know that we are glad that you're here. Would love for you to plug in and engage and be part of our church family. At the end of the service, I will be out in the east end of the foyer and would love to meet you. You can bring your blue card or you can leave it in your seat there. Either way, I've got a gift for you. So just glad that you're here. I think I forgot earlier, Utes, did y'all pass out the registration or are you waiting for me to ask, right? I meant to do that earlier. You can register your attendance with us this morning. We've in our app, our Wiley Methodist app. You can do that, or we're fixing to get some little forms in your hand. Keep those running down to the end of the aisle. We'd like to know that you were here. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Now, before I go there, how many of you are still doing the Matthew challenge? Bunch of you. That's good. We're coming to the end of that, and I have been requested this morning that I challenge us to a new book in February. Who would be in if I did that?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Okay, it's coming. I'll get it to you. It's coming. All right. So, and I love getting the feedback. Many of you have been giving me some feedback and asking questions and stuff like that. Man, when we get in the Word, it's just like God just. Really, he just communicates to our hearts. So Philippians chapter 4, Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi that he had started, and we pick it up in verse 6. I love Philippians, by the way. We might want to do that sometime. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, and I would add sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just sang this, but I want to pray this, that you are welcome here. Not just at this message time, but you're welcome in our lives. You're welcome in this church. We want you to control everything. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to speak in power and authority. Teach us and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. So third week in the series, the sermon series, Holding Steady in Uncertain Times. Now, as I said, this is the third week. I am not going to go back and rehash the problems, the issues. If you missed last week, I encourage you can go to our website and click on the Sermons tab, and you can find that audio or video version. Most people say I have a face for radio, so you might want the audio. But you can listen to it there. You can pull down the Wiley Methodist app. You can listen to it there. But I outlined some real issues that we're going through in our culture as well as in our denomination. Today's message is no worries, no worries. So I'm not gonna rehash all those. If you were here last week, you know what I'm talking about, or you may already have known about these issues. But let's just suffice it to say, we are in, I really believe this, not just our denomination, but our nation, and which we, or what makes up the nation, there's a battle for our very soul going on. I believe that with all my heart. There is, and we've seen it. I mentioned it earlier, the whole thing with the abortion ruling in the new law in New York. That's just one of so many examples where we literally are in a battle for our soul. Now, y'all know I'm long-suffering. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Anybody the Cowboy fans in that? Woo-hoo-hee! Okay, well, I don't know if anybody has told you they're not in the Super Bowl this year. Just news break for you, news flash. But here's the deal. We didn't really say that, but it's not in the Bible, but I just know this to be a fact. On the eighth day, you know, on the seventh day, God created for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. On the eighth day, he created DVRs. You probably didn't know that. I'm pretty sure it may not be in the Bible, but I'm pretty sure. So, you know, if the Cowboys are playing, I used to, you know, fret. I'm just telling you, I'm a sinner, and I used to fret about, you know, I wanted to get home, and I didn't want to miss kickoff. Well, now that God has created DVRs, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You can go out and for lunch, and you can just relax. Unless you go somewhere with a TV, and then it's like, yeah. How many of you have seen the movie Fever Pitch? It's an older movie. It's been around probably 15 years or so. Fever Pitch. It's about this guy, and he's a Boston Red Sox fan. He's an avid fan, and there's a scene that just really cracks me up. He's meeting his girlfriend's parents Jimmy Fallon's actually the star, the guy for the Tonight Show. He's actually the star of it, and he's meeting his girlfriend's parents for the first time, and he's this rabid Boston Red Sox fan, and he's videotaping back in those days. He's videotaping the ball game, so he's trying to have a good time meeting their parents and all, and they go to have lobster, okay? And he's got lobster juice all over his hands and everything, and the people on the table right behind him start talking about the game. Start talking about what happened and what the score was and everything. And he's wanting to cover up his ears and go, la, 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 la. And his hands have lobster juice on them. And he's meeting his parents of his girlfriend for the first time. So he's like, la, 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 la. He's just like panicking. And his girlfriend knows that this is what's going on. And so she goes over and stands behind him, and she puts her hands over his ears. And he's like, la, 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 la. And the parents are going, who is this strange man my daughter is dating? So I tell you that story to say this. When I DVR the Cowboy game, if by some chance, and it happens pretty often, someone is watching it or calls me or texts me and go, hey, man, can you believe the Cowboys won? And I'm just, you know, in my mind, I'm just like, ugh. Really frustrated. So I go home, but I'm going to watch the game anyway, even though I know they won. Now here's my point. If I know they win, I don't care how bad they're playing. I don't care what's going on the field. I mean, it can be mass chaos. They can fumble 9 times in the first 2 minutes. And in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, but they win. They win. Church. Church. Anybody listening? Right now, there's a lot of fumbles happening. There's interceptions. There's penalties. There's craziness is abounding. But I have the game recorded. I know how it ends. So my point when I'm watching that game, I can just sit back and just relax. I don't worry about how the game is going. Do you know that Jesus used the word 12 times worry in the Gospels? Did you know he mentioned the word worry 12 times in the Gospel? Do you know what he had to say about worry? Don't do it! It's real simple. It's not this big, elaborate. You know, Jesus is just amazing how that he usually, his message for us is usually really simple. Don't worry. Don't worry. I've got the game recorded. We win. He said, don't worry about your life. He said, don't worry about what you're going to wear. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. He said, don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about tomorrow. Even if you get arrested, and you get brought before someone and you have to defend yourself for my sake, don't worry about what you're going to say. Because I'm going to tell you what to say. That's why I never study for sermons. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. I study a little bit. But he says, don't worry. There's this, and I'll tell you, if I don't know if anybody else is going to get anything out of this message. I need to hear it. Maybe you don't, but I need to hear it, because sometimes I've said it in these last couple of weeks. It's like sometimes I feel like my head's going to explode. If you start reading the paper, I mean, all you got to do is just, I don't even know why my daughter put me on Facebook a few years ago. I have no idea about any of that. But I mean, just read through, you know, the posts on Facebook. Just watch the news, read the paper, turn on the radio. It's just, there's a lot of bad news out there. Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. I've overcome the world. I've overcome all of this stuff. I win. And you're with me. You ever been somewhere that you know you couldn't get into unless you were with somebody else? It's like they have a pass. You know, Jesus, we're with Jesus. I can just imagine that, you know, when you're going to walk into heaven. They look at me and go, I don't think so. And I'm going to say, I'm with him. I'm with him. During uncertain times, church, if there's a reason I named this series this, because we are in uncertain times. During uncertain times, don't fret about the future. Don't fret about the future. This passage that we read today out of Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about, say that last word with me, don't be anxious about anything. It doesn't say, be anxious about this, but these other things will be okay. Be anxious about, here's a list of the things you could be anxious for. No, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't fret about the future. These are the words of Jesus. I love it, and I'm still, Robert, I'm still following your inspiration. You'll see it in red there in your handout. The words of Christ. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. And this is out of Matthew. We on the sixth day of Matthew, if you're going along our challenge this month, you would have read this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Now, that's the thing about worry, and we all do it. Come on. You know, we all do it. And generally, worry just doesn't fix anything, does it? It just doesn't. Who of you, by worrying, Jesus says, can add a single hour to his life? It comes down to faith. Just trust in him. I mentioned it last week that when I was going through that time of transition in the ministry and seeking the Lord and was scared to death that he wasn't going to come through. I mean, I'm just being real with you. And the word he had for me at the end of that struggle was, just trust me. Just trust me. I know that it doesn't look like things are going to work out right now, but just trust me. Second thing, during uncertain times, fix your heart and mind on God. You know, fix your heart and mind on God. So, and people, I get the question a lot, like, how do you do that? And the best way I can try to capture that is press into God. Press into Him. And sometimes, I know this has been true in my own life, I say this, that if we're praying and we don't feel like we're hearing an answer, sometimes God wants us to do this. It's like, what? I'm listening. I'm listening more intently, Lord. I know that sometimes God may have a period of time when he's just silent and he's just wanting us to keep praying, keep trusting, and press in, lean in. And the older I get, the worse that my hearing gets. I do that a lot. I have to lean in to understand what somebody's saying. Get closer. Press into him. And then that takes shape in all sorts of ways. Men, I'm just challenging you. Maybe it means going to a men's encounter night. What? That's pressing into God. And coming to church is great, and I want to encourage us to do that. But don't just come to church. Press into him. Now, I'm not going to use names and embarrass anybody. They'll probably know by the way I'm talking about this. But there are people that have been here, have visited our church two or three times that are more engaged than people who've been here for 10 years. I'm just saying. So sometimes when we visit and it's like we engage, it's like you can tell, I can tell immediately, it's like those people are serious. They're serious about the Lord. They want to grow. They want to find a body that embraces them and that they can grow in. And it's great to stroll into church and stroll out. I love it when we're here. I love you being here. But there's so much more. There's so much more than just coming and sitting through a service and going home and never connecting. What are we putting in our mind? This passage we read today, verse 8, says, finally, whatever is true, so he's saying, put the truth in your mind. Whatever is noble, something that's just noble. I love that word. I don't use it all the time, but I love that word, noble. Whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. It's saying, think about those things. And this is a constant battle for me with this barrage of the bad stuff that seems to be going on in our culture. It's a constant battle for me to set my mind on the things of God rather than on the things of this earth. Maybe it's just me. It's a constant battle. Place those things in our mind. Colossians says it this way, since then we have been raised with Christ. So he's saying that if Christ is truly our Savior and we've been raised with him, we're now his children. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. There it is. The earthly things. Now that doesn't mean stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and we don't know what's going on in our world. That's the balance for me, is I want to stay informed, but I don't want to be consumed by the things of this world. And it is a constant daily struggle for me. Maybe it is for you as well. It's saying, set your hearts on things above, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Press into God. Fix your heart and mind on him. And Matthew, Jesus says it again this way, seek first his kingdom and righteousness. Focus on that. Let that be your priority, his kingdom and your righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, everything else is going to work itself out. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Doesn't it, though? Man, press into God. He loves that. You know, I can remember, man, and my youngest grandson's not quite there yet as far as age-wise, but I can remember that age when my oldest grandson, Jordan and Cheryl, were at the mall. We were going to eat at Chick-fil-A. And they called me and said, hey, we're going to be at the mall eating Chick-fil-A. You want to come join us? And so, yeah. So they're in that center area right there by Chick-fil-A, that big where everything crosses. And they're just kind of, he's running around doing all stuff and everything. And I can remember I walked through the men's Dillard, and when I came out of men's Dillard, he saw me. Oliver saw me. And he came running. You remember this? He came running across the mall at big area, and he said, Papa! And he's just running. It's the first time he'd ever done it. Papa, and he's just running, and he just grabs around my legs, and it's like, man, that's what God wants with us. I didn't care about anything else. I didn't care about, and this is really big for me, I didn't care about lunch. I didn't care about nothing. The little man came running and embraced me. And he called me by name. And that's what God wants from us. Fix your heart and your mind on him. He doesn't disappoint. Third thing, during uncertain times, trust everything to God. Everything. Now, that's interesting that the two sides of this scale, it says, don't be anxious about anything. And then it says, in everything, trust him. Don't be anxious about anything. In everything, trust him. With prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I find that really interesting that those two words are diametrically opposite. Don't be anxious about anything. Trust me with everything. That's pretty clear, church. It's pretty clear what God is calling us to do. So, to summarize, don't fret about the future. Fix your heart and your mind on God and trust everything to God. And here's the promise. Here's the resulting promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it told us earlier to set our hearts and our minds on things above. And when we do these things, when we trust him, the fruit is peace. You ever just know somebody's like their life is caving in? I see it with people all the time. Their life is caving in, and you go, someone could be dying, it could be cancer, it could be all sorts of horrible tragedies that have happened, and you just see them, it's like, man, they just have peace. That's the fruit of all the rest of this. To not fret about the future, to set our hearts and minds on him, and to trust him, the fruit is peace. Jesus said it this way, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And he goes on saying, I don't give to you as the world does. Our peace, our worldly peace is depending upon what? Our circumstances. As long as everything's lined up just right, maybe I'll have peace for that moment. That's the peace of the world. But Jesus said, no. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my peace that transcends understanding. It transcends circumstances. That's what I want to leave you. In fact, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, I hope you learned this passage, Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. The third one listed there is peace. Peace. Jesus wants us to have peace in the midst of all that's going on. You know, our denomination has that big meeting here in about 4 weeks, and who knows what all is going to be decided for us that we don't have any say on in regards to our denomination. In the midst of it, he wants us to trust him, to seek him first, to not fret about anything, but to trust him in everything. And he will take care of it. He will provide peace. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you are faithful. You come through when we trust you. Father, teach us how to not be anxious about anything. Teach us how to trust you in everything. We love you, and we do indeed trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.